Menards is the ultimate home improvement destination in the Midwest. Since 1958, we've been supplying you with everything from hardware to automotive needs. We believe in helping you save big money on every project, big or small. From top-of-the-line tools to plumbing supplies, paint, and appliances, we've got you covered. We thank you for making Menards a part of your year. From our family to yours, have a safe and happy new year.
Save big money at Menards.
What's going on, everybody? I know that there's like a chat right here that's blank. And yeah, I'm sorry for that. By the time you see this, me and Kendra will be on a plane. We'll be landing in North Carolina to visit a very close friend of mine for the weekend. And let me just start off today by saying I hope that you guys have an amazing weekend. You will see me tomorrow on Dear America. I don't know if you'll see me, but I'll be there. Because I don't know how the internet situation is going to be and the setup's going to be. I will be taking my computer and some other things, but you know, if my picture is distorted and destroyed, I would much rather you guys have a quality show than and me be behind the scenes than have me have a distorted, horrible sound and horrible picture. And you know, so quality versus quantity, that's just the way I do business. But anyway, so today is a pre-recorded episode. It is going to be shorter because I'm on a very serious time crunch right here. I've got to literally, me and Kendra have to leave here really soon and head to the airport. Listen, hit the like button, repost this, share this with as many people as you possibly can. If you're not following this channel, shame on you. You should be. but, you know, I do appreciate it. You can even hit the subscribe button. It'll cost you $5 a month. You don't have to, but yeah, I would appreciate it. No ads today because, like I said, it is pre-recorded, so no ad reads. We're just going to dive right into this thing. So let's pick up where we left off and the last thing we talked about on the Paul Harvey, If I Were the Devil. And if you're seeing this for the first time, basically for the last 2 weeks, this would be part three of this particular series, and something that radio DJ Paul Harvey in the 60s, as a matter of fact, it was April the 3rd, 1965, Paul Harvey put out this audio recording saying, "If I were the devil," and basically just detailing that if he was the devil, the steps that he would take in order to not just destroy Christianity, but destroy America from within. And as we have gone through these things, you've seen so many similarities and so many, it's really opened my eyes for sure on the things that we've seen versus the things that were said in 1965. So let's pick up where we left off here. And this is where we ended. So let's continue, listen to the rest of the thing, and then we'll discuss.
"If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions, just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Lot of truth, a lot of scary, scary truth in that last minute and a half of what Paul Harvey was talking about. I mean, just when you hear those words, it's really hard. It's hard for me when I hear this. It is very difficult for me to understand that this came from 1965. It's almost like this brother did this yesterday. You know, especially when he ends it with, I just keep doing what I was doing. And so we'll start off with, I'd have families at war with themselves. I'd have churches at war with themselves. I'd have nation at war with themselves. And from the scripture, we'll take from Matthew 12:25. And when Jesus said that every kingdom divided itself will be ruined, every city or household that's divided against itself will not stand. As it stands right now, divorce rates at an all-time high. I think it's you have a 50-50 shot. Family breakdown fuels crime and poverty. Denominations are splitting over same-sex marriage and gender ideology. The United Methodist Church split in 2024-2025 because of this. The wars that are going on abroad, whether it's Ukraine or Russia or Israel versus Hamas or Iran versus us, and the political civil war that's inside of America. I say this all the time. We are more divided now than we've ever been in our nation's history. And it's over things that honestly are either A, falsitudes, or B, just don't matter anyway. Anyway. And I don't care what side of the fence you're on. I don't care if you're left or right. Both sides promote this. Both sides promote separation and division. Both sides do. And it's for their political gain, 100%. You know, and I said yesterday on yesterday's show, it might even been Tuesday's show, that now what you're seeing from the left is every time they win, it's they're fighting for democracy, and every time they lose, it's because the GOP is racist. And understand, why do you think they say things like that? It's very simple. Because there are people that will believe it, and they know it, or they wouldn't be saying it. Yeah, yeah, they're idiots, they're leftists, they're septum ring-wearing, purple-headed freaks that have to be reminded to blink and breathe, and they can't walk and chew gum at the same time. But, their message works with their group, and they are organized and deadly. And I have not, in the 42 years I've been alive, seen our country less patriotic, more divided, and more dangerous than it is in 2025. So the devil is absolutely, as far as having families at war with themselves, and the church is in worse shape than it has been forever. Me and you, in the chat, I deal with you guys all the time about church hurt. And I said it on Dear America this morning, and I'll say it again. It's because people put too much faith in humanity. People put way too much faith and trust in the person that's standing behind the pulpit with the little boom mic across his cheek. You put all of your faith in that person, not the person that he represents. And that's where division is allowed to come in. How many times have you seen a pastor leave a church and then you have total division in the church? Literally just happened at our church. We just voted in a new pastor and all the members voted, and I was completely blown away to hear that I think it was 49 or 50 people voted against this new pastor coming in. And I'm like, what are you doing? Like, what are y'all doing? So there's division everywhere right now, and it's just dangerous. And we're not even going to get into the wars, the rumors of wars, and all of those things, because that'll take another 2 hours. Part two, With the promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. And we see that ever since the 24-hour news network started, we were doomed as far as legacy media, as far as no spin zones. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I miss the good old days when news came on at 6 o'clock. And you got your news from the local people at 6. They would hit a couple international and national stories. But then you found out, you know, what Bebe's kid did yesterday and what Aunt Josie's kid did the other day. And the newspaper. Once 24-hour news started, Fox News, CNN, where it was just news 24-7, 7 days a week, that invited spin. No longer are they reading headline. This is the date, this is what happened, and this is the aftermath. That's no longer. Now it's this is the headline, depending on what news source you watch. This is the Republican that's responsible. This is the group of Americans whose fault it is, and this is who you should hate, and this is why. And it goes for both networks. You get the headline in about 30 seconds, but then you get 45 minutes of spin on top of it. Well, here's Fox News affiliate. Here's CNN affiliate. Here is, yeah, and on so forth and so on. That's why I don't watch it. That's why I don't watch it. But talking about the scripture, I love this one. It's Isaiah 59:7. Their feet rush into sin. They are swift to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are evil thoughts. Ruin and destruction mark their ways. Man, does not that not explain legacy media in 1, 2, 3, 4 sentences right there. So here's your real world applications here. Media is pushing fear. Always fear. COVID, fear. I literally just read a headline 30 seconds before the countdown ended. A California resident just tested positive for the plague. Here we go. COVID, fear, division, whether it's racial, political, financial, spiritual, whatever it is. Division, 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 division. And it's all for one thing and one thing only, to get you to click on something. I guarantee you 99.9% of the people that run their mouths and give their affiliate opinions and stuff, they don't give a piss about what they're talking about. They don't care about their party. They don't care about the movement. They don't care about any of that stuff. All they care about is how many eyes are watching and how many people are clicking. That's all that matters. That's all that matters. Do you really think that Harry Sisson, JoJo from Jersey, the other libtard that the DNC just fired, the megaton warhead that they just fired, trying to get boys, more young men, to vote for the DNC, and she looked like a snapping turtle? Do you really think those people really believe in Gavin Newsom enough to go on a show with him when he's sitting at a 25-26% approval rating? The state that the man, his whole state hates him. Do you really think? No, it's clicks. It's all clicks. Every bit of it. Because everything that they chastise Trump about, Gavin Newsom has already done before. And they loved him for it. Oh, Putin, rolling out the red carpet for Putin. Xi Jinping came to San Francisco with Chinese flags lining the streets. Not a word was said. It's all for clicks, every bit of it, for clicks and division. Number three, schools. Let's just call it intellect without discipline. I'm going to refine young intellects but neglect to discipline emotions. Proverbs 22:6. This is every parent's go-to. Train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now you've got, like the video we showed this morning on Dear America, you've got kids, younger kids, smaller kids, slapping teachers in the face, disrespecting the classroom in front of the entire student body, complete classrooms in total chaos with pride flags hanging from the things, with critical race theory being taught in the classrooms, with all of these things outside being taught, teaching our kids, your kids, the wrong message, the wrong method, the wrong theology, the wrong ideology, and not a Bible to be found. Teachers are actually afraid. Now, I used to ask this question all the time to teachers that taught me. Why don't you just slap the piss out of little Johnny? Well, because I'd go to jail, Todd. Well, you did it to me. It's a different day. You got teachers that are in the classroom that are afraid to discipline students because of fear of being fired, being sued, losing retirement. It's insane. Total insanity. And the rise in violence right now is mind-blowing because everybody wants to do this, record everything, and world star, instead of stepping in going, hey, we shouldn't be doing this. Like, this should not be happening. No, it's total insanity. Every time you get on the internet, it's a viral video of another fight in school or another student punching a teacher, another student punching another student or something. It's insane. And the drug sniffing dogs and metal detectors in the 60s, like Paul Harvey said that, like, yeah, I'm gonna make that happen today. It's an everyday thing. Like and I don't care where you're from. This is a reality. Think about this for a second, and I'll use myself as an example. But when I graduated from Caledonia High School, the doors were unlocked. Man, you could go in and out as you please. There was no cameras anywhere. We didn't have a SRO. We didn't have an SRO when I was in school. Like, we didn't. Well, I mean, we had one, but he didn't have an office in the office. Like, he would just show up, and his name was Uncle Bunky. He'd show up about once a month. He'd be like, hey, what's up, Uncle Bunky? And he'd, hey, and he'd walk out. I went back to my old high school like a years ago, and I tried to walk in the door. Every door is locked. Every single door is locked. You can't get in. It's like a prison. And there's cameras looking at you here, and you got to push this little button so the secretary can see your face and show your ID, and they buzz you in. Like, our children are being educated inside a prison system. And so there's the reality right there. And how many articles have you seen showing the record levels of teens that have anxiety, that have depression and drug use and teen pregnancy and suicide? I mean, our kids' mental health now is 100 times worse than it ever has been. And it has categorically risen the day that we took the Bible and prayer away from the school, which goes back to train up a child in the way he should go. And even when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Well, it's kind of hard to fulfill that first verse of Scripture or fulfill that last part of Scripture when you erase the first part of it. Because those lessons are not being taught. Not just at home. They're not being taught at the schools. They're not being taught at the daycares. They're not being taught at the dinner tables the way they used to be. How can you expect America's youth to react and act accordingly and act a certain way when they have no idea who Jesus is, what he done, how God created the world and the love of Christ and how we're supposed to treat one another? How can you expect kids to act a specific way when these messages are not being taught? And yes, if you're not doing it in your household, I'm talking to you. If the love of Christ is not being shown in your own household, how can you expect your children to go out into the world and live it and show it and teach it if it's not being taught? It's a tough message. And you can amen or you can owe me. It's up to you. Number four, I would overflow prison and corrupt judges. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. And we read in Romans chapter 1, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind. And it goes back to what I said this morning to the question during the premium. What do I do daily to keep God at the forefront of my life and keep God invested in what I'm doing when I meet you every day? And it's this right here. Since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, I gave them over to a depraved mind. Well, it's impossible to hand me over to a depraved mind. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. I have men around me that hold me accountable, whether it's Graham, whether it's Chad, whether it's Tony. I've got a beautiful woman that's in that house right now that holds me to a specific standard, that holds me to a godly standard and holds me accountable. So there's no way I am, and don't get me wrong, I don't live a perfect life. Not even close. Not even close. I've told y'all time and time again, I am not an example. Not. The example died on the cross years and years and years ago. That's the example. The U.S. has one of the highest prison populations in the world. Big surprise there. Courts are striking down community standards on obscenity. Porn has been normalized. And there are certain states that are combating this, even here in Mississippi. You do not have access to porno sites. You don't. You have to verify who you are before you do it. And good luck when you do that. And even porn is protected as free speech in some places. California DA controversies, the leniency for criminals, harsher penalties for law-abiding citizens. I mean, we literally, not too long ago, saw an individual in California. I did a story on this weeks and weeks ago that was let out of prison by Kamala Harris and ended up murdering an entire family on a boat. How many times have you seen rape? Well, they got time served. Sexual assault, well, they got time served. You know, felony assault, well, they got time served. That's it. And they go back out, and just that time served, that's not enough time to rehab and rehabilitate somebody. I've always said that the purpose of the law, and I'm not talking about the biblical law, I'm talking about the law, okay? The purpose of the law and law enforcement is, I'm sorry to tell you this, but this is just the truth. There are some individuals in this world that do not need to be around civilization. And that is the purpose of the law, is to take the people that are a danger to society and put them in a place away from the civilized population. And once we shut down the asylums and stop promoting mental health and going and seeing psychiatrists and dealing with your issues on an emotional and spiritual level, once we shut all that down, there was nowhere else to go but a jail cell. And then we shut that down and there's nothing else to do but let these people out into society and destroy civilization one family, one life at a time. And this ties into the next part. Soon I would even evict God from the courthouse, and then from the schoolhouse, and then from Congress. And Psalm 14:1 says it clear. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. The real world application here is nativity scenes are being banned off of public property and federal property and state property. School prayer is outlawed, but drag queen story hour is promoted. Pornographic books in your schoolhouse libraries, elementary schools, pride flags everywhere inside of elementary schools. When you have no, and me and Graham say this all the time, and I hate to beat this horse over and over again. I do not want an educator teaching my kids anything sexual. Whether it's hetero, homo, whatever. I don't want you teaching my kid nothing. That's my job. The birds and the bees conversation is my responsibility. It's not yours. Members of Congress openly mocking faith while elevating the government as the savior. I literally just saw a clip, and I don't think it was from America. I think it was from the UK. And they were talking about enacting a new law regarding hate speech. And this particular parliamentary person stood up and said, well, wait a minute. We just had a festival downtown, and there was a statue of Jesus in the festival, and it was being openly mocked, openly spoke against, things thrown at it. Can we incorporate that and make that hate speech? And the exact response that was given was, I'm sorry, was Jesus there? Like, was he offended? But that's where we are. Like, if you speak out against wokeism, that's hate speech. If you speak out against abortion, that's hate speech. If you speak out against transgenderism and homosexuality, that's hate speech. But if they call me a threat to democracy because I'm a white male Christian nationalist, that's okay. That's perfectly okay. Number six, I would redefine science and psychology. In his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. Oh, we've seen this over and over and over again throughout history. In Colossians chapter 2, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy. It's always in the Bible, guard your mind, guard your mind, guard your heart, watch out, look out, be careful, guard your mind. There's a reason for that. Churches adopting therapy talk instead of preaching. How many times has your preacher preached on sin versus preaching on salvation? Now, I'll be the first to tell you, I'm a big proponent on grace. Big proponent on grace. But don't be deceived by grace either. Okay, you got to have a balance there. All right, I'm not grace, 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 mercy, 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 mercy. No, 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 no. That's not the way I live my life. Too many Christians today are deceived by the grace message in that, well, I'm a Christian now and everything falls under grace and so I can go live my life however I want to. Doesn't work like that. Doesn't work like that. And how many times have we heard the trust the science? Trust the science. It's elevated above scripture. You even had a pastor, a so-called pastor in name only on Joe Rogan's show saying that abortion is never mentioned in the Bible. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, time out. Yes, it is. It's mentioned more than once. Well, Jesus never talked about it. Well, there's a lot of things Jesus didn't talk about that just common sense we know is not right. All right? Jesus never spoke about, you know, nasty relationships with barnyard animals. Never mentioned it. But pretty sure I know that's wrong. I knew you. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. Trust the science. I hate that phrase. I hate that phrase. Because they don't, the ones that say trust the science don't do it for themselves. XY, XX chromosome, trust the science. Trust it. Trust the science. But anyway, you had pandemic mandates and gender ideology just telling us, trust the science. Okay, well, I got one for you. When I'm dead and all the flesh is, I'm just a skeleton, you're not going to be able to tell what I identified as. But by the science and biology, you will be able to tell what gender I was. And hopefully, by the way I lived my life and by the videos that are going to be on the internet forever, you'll know who I served. Corruption in the church. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. Luke chapter 17. It would be better for them to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around their neck than to cause one of these little ones to stumble. I ain't even get started with the Catholic Church. And if you're Catholic, I ain't talking, I'm not bashing you. I'm just saying, you know it. I know it. We all know it. Mega church financial fraud cases. Over, and I got nothing against mega churches. Nothing. I got nothing against big, massive mega churches. I don't. Okay? What I have a problem with is corporate church, where I walk into a building and the pastors and the people that work there are all wearing the same collared t-shirt with the little church logo on it. I'm about facing and leaving immediately. Not doing it. And this goes without saying, but public trust in the clergy is at an all-time low. I see it every day in the chat. I see it every day during the premium call-ins. Church hurt. Every day. And it's a shame. I mean, it really is. And I can't even really go into the things that I want to go into because I'm going to get really... I'm going to lose my religion real quick if I start talking about people who would do harm to children. Y'all know where me and Tony stand on this. But that's... never mind. I can't go there. The symbols of Easter and Christmas being corrupted. I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle or a stupid little elf that somehow miraculously moves when the kids are asleep. I thank God every day that when that stupid little thing came out, my kids were grown and had no Santa Claus belief or whatever. John chapter 4, God is spirit and his worshipers must worship in both spirit and in truth. How, and people, I got wrecked when I said this on the show a couple weeks ago. Wrecked. Me and my ex-wife, we both had an agreement when our kids were born that if they ever came up to us, no matter how old they were, or let me rephrase, no matter how young they were, if they ever come to one of us legitimately asking if Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny was real, the answer would be no, it's not. That's made up. There is no Santa Claus. There is no Easter Bunny. And I got wrecked for it. But it's because, beyond a shadow of a doubt, my boys were going to grow up knowing the reason behind Easter, the reason behind Christmas. And it wasn't because of some mythical rabbit that for some reason decided to lay eggs, or a tree with ornaments and a fat guy in a red hat. Not going to happen. The symbolism of Easter and the reasoning behind Easter and the reasoning behind Christmas was to celebrate the birth, death, and resurrection of the fallen Savior that my family served, loved, and believed in, above all. And I had people, Todd, you ruin your kids' childhood. No, I did not. I did not ruin my kids' childhood. I did everything I could as a father to secure their eternity. Because in the grand scheme of things, your kid's childhood doesn't matter when it comes to talking about eternity. And so I refused. Now, we did it. We did the Easter egg hunts, man. We did the Christmas stuff, the Santa Claus came. We did all that stuff. But we let it be known at a certain age when they started asking questions that, hey, Santa Claus is not real. The Easter Bunny, not real. God is, and God's the reason behind of all of this. Because if I had lied to my kids for years, telling them that this was real, that somebody that you can't see, taste, smell, or feel was real, and you should believe in him, well, when they got to a certain age and it's some, I can't see, feel, touch, taste God either. Are you lying about that too? I was never going to be caught with my pants down in that type of situation. Destroying incentive and promoting gambling. I take from those who have and give to those who want. Whole states. I'd get whole states to promote gambling as an easy way to get rich. The worst thing Mississippi ever did was to add the lottery. We did it a couple years ago, and I hate going to gas stations because of it. I absolutely hate it. I have to stand in line for 30 minutes because I'm behind 15 people getting lottery tickets. I played the lottery twice. And it's just a waste of time and a waste of money. I'm not going to say if you do, you're wrong. I'm not going to say if you go to a casino, you're wrong, because I do. I like to play cards. I love to play three-card poker. I do. But it's an excess. That's the difference. Same thing with drinking. All right, could I crack a beer open right now and talk about God? Absolutely could. And if I had one and it wasn't 11 o'clock in the morning, I would, just to prove a point. It's the excess. Should you do it? No. But if you can control it and it doesn't cause you to sin, you're fine. But in 2 Thessalonians, and when it comes to all of this, Bernie Sanders BS, there shouldn't be any billionaires, and Mama Dama Dama Donnie saying he's going to take houses away from rich people and turn them into homeless shelters and all this stuff, I say the same thing to all of them. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, the one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. It's a clip we showed this morning on Dear America. This woman getting $2,000 a month in food stamps and EBT. And the state's requiring her to do 15 hours of community service, and she doesn't want to do it because, I mean, she doesn't even have a job. Well, Bible's clear. Those who are unwilling to work shall not eat. And this whole communistic socialist nightmare that Mama Dama Donnie and Bernie Sanders and all them are talking about, that's not fair. That's not fair. And I told people when I was a recruiter in the Army, and this was back when Bernie Sanders was running for president, I had a couple young folks going to MEPS to join. And they said, Sergeant Spears, who are you voting for? And I said, well, I think Donald Trump's going to win, But I'm voting for Benny Carson. This was during the primary. And I told y'all why I voted for Benny Carson in the primary. It's because isidewith.com. That's where I go. It's what I do. And, well, we're Bernie's kids. Like, we're Bernie. I'm a Bernie girl. I'm a Bernie guy. I'm a Bernie Sanders. I like taking away from the rich so us people that don't have enough can have a chance to make it. And I said, okay, do y'all know how Bernie's going to do that? And I'm like, no, not really. Okay, all right, y'all are both in school. Let's look at it this way. Say you got an exam. Today's Monday. You got an exam on Friday. And they said, okay. And I said, you. And I pointed to the young lady. I said, you. You spend every day studying. Every day. You don't go out. You don't party. You don't, you know, you don't go to the bars. You don't do any of that stuff. You stay home Monday through Thursday, and you study your butt off for 2-3 hours a day. You take the test, and you make an A. But you don't study at all. You go to the bars. You go watch the ball games. You hang out with your buddies. You don't study, and you fail the test. You make an F. But the teacher calls you in. The one that made an A calls you in and says, hey, listen, it's not fair. Rufus here made an F. You made an A. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take your A and I'm going to change it to a C so that I can take his F and upgrade it to a C. And the girl looked at me dead serious and was like, I ain't doing that. That's not fair. I said, well, that's what Bernie Sanders is going to do to people's money. And within 24 hours, both those people did research, reached out to me and said, you know what, Sergeant Spears, you're absolutely right. That is not cool. But you have the welfare systems and Medicare and Medicaid. I'm not talking about anybody that's on it that needs to be on it. But these systems are abused and it's created a dependency upon the government. We're taking away our dependency on God, our dependency on his will for our lives and the promise to not just give you life, but life more abundantly. You're taking away, the government has taken away all those biblical promises and said, you don't have to do none of that. We'll take care of all of it for you and you don't even have to go to work. Lottery and casino revenues are booming and of course they are. And I've got nothing against casinos. I got nothing against it. Sports betting has been legalized in about every state now at this point. You got people gambling mortgage payments. You got people gambling child kids' tuition funds and stuff like that. And that's where I draw the line. Redefining marriage and promoting immorality. I would convince young people that marriage is old-fashioned, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And I would lure you into bed with diseases from which there is no cure. Do you honestly think? See, I think that God has a sense of balance. All right, there's a sense of balance in his will. For every action, there's a reaction. Whether it's AIDS or syphilis or gonorrhea or herpes or whatever, that's God's punishment for going, okay, you want to live this way? That's apart from my will. You want to live this way. That's against my word and against my scripture and against my teaching. Okay. Well, here's what you got. You've got AIDS. You got hepatitis. No cure for any of these things. Good luck. That's the great balance. And you look in Hebrews 13, marriage should be honored by all and the marriage bed kept pure. For God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Marriage rates are declining, and this hookup culture is ridiculous. Like, so me and Kendra have been together. We've been married five years. Yeah, 5 years. And we dated, you know, a year or so before. But there for about 3 or 4 months after my divorce, I was single. No. Thank God knew what he was doing, because that was a very dark time in my life when I went through my first divorce, or my only divorce, but I went through my divorce, very dark time in my life. And God understood. He understood the assignment. He knew what kind of kid I was. He knew how I was raised. And he knew my mind. He goes, no. We're going to calm you down. Just chill, bro. I got this brown-headed, blue-eyed woman. She's coming. Yeah, she's a firecracker. Yeah, she's a hothead. But, bro, trust me. She's got you. Just hold tight, because this whole hookup culture thing is disgusting. TV and social media, they glamorize infidelity and the gender fluid relationships and open relationships and stuff like that. It's disgusting. STDs are at a record highs in Mississippi right now. I think the state of Mississippi leads the nation in syphilis. Leads the nation. There's an epidemic in syphilis in my state right now. And according to the CDC, from 2023 to 2024, record highs of STDs running around the country right now. Record highs. But to close this thing out, Paul Harvey gave us a prophetic message in the 60s. In Ephesians 5:11, the Bible says, "Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them." And your call to action is very simple. Don't just recognize the devil's plan in your day-to-day life, but resist it. Resist it with the truth, not my truth. Okay, not your truth. There's only one truth. Resist it with the truth and the light and the gospel that is Jesus Christ, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you have nothing to be afraid of. Like I said yesterday, you have nothing to be afraid of, nothing to be worried about. Don't be anxious about anything, but pray about everything. Does God not feed the birds? And how much more does he love you than the birds? Does he not clothe the fields? How much more does he love you? Because you're the only thing that was made in his image. The only thing. And he loves you more than you can possibly imagine. And you have nothing to fear, especially the devil and his demons. You have nothing to fear. Don't fear the created. Instead, pray, fear, honor, and love the Creator, the one that goes ahead of you and paves the way and protects you and will always be there for you, the one that will set up a table in the presence of your enemies. I love you guys. I hope y'all have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful weekend. I hope this message finds you well. And I will see you guys in the morning on Dear America. And I'll see you back in the same time, same place on Monday. I love you. I miss you. I mean it. And just remember, God loves you so much that he sent the only kid he had to be beaten, to be mocked, to be nailed to a cross, to pay for your sins and my sins, so that we could have an eternal life with him. No matter what you're going through, no matter what season of life you're in, good things are coming. And all things work for the good to those who serve him and his purposes. I love you. I'll see you guys tomorrow. Take care, everybody.